His six colleagues, the UP representatives for Mercury, Earth, Luna, Ganymede, Titan, and Triton, were all present in the flesh. They had to be. Electronic diplomacy was not possible over solar system distances. Some elder statesmen, accustomed to the instantaneous communications which Earth had long taken for granted, had never reconciled themselves to the fact that radio waves took minutes or even hours to journey across the gulfs between the planets. "Can't you scientists do something about it?" they had been heard to complain bitterly when told that face-to-face conversation was impossible between Earth and any of its remoter children. Only the moon had that barely acceptable 1.5-second delay, with all the political and psychological consequences which it implied. Because of this fact of astronomical life, the moon, and only the moon, would always be a suburb of Earth. Also present in person were three of the specialists who had been co-opted to the committee. Professor Davidson, the astronomer, was an old acquaintance. Today he did not seem his usual irascible self. Dr. Bose knew nothing of the infighting that had preceded the launch of the first probe to Rama, but the professor's colleagues had not let him forget it. Dr. Thelma Price was familiar through her numerous television appearances, though she had first made her reputation 50 years ago, during the archaeological explosion that had followed the draining of that vast marine museum, the Mediterranean. Dr. Bose could still recall the excitement of that time, when the lost treasures of the Greeks, Romans, and a dozen other civilizations were restored to the light of day. That was one of the few occasions when he was sorry to be living on Mars. The exobiologist Carlyle Pereira was another obvious choice. So was Dennis Solomons, the science historian. Dr. Bose was slightly less happy about the presence of Conrad Taylor, the celebrated anthropologist, who had made his reputation by uniquely combining scholarship and eroticism in his study of puberty rites in late 20th century Beverly Hills. No one, however, could possibly have disputed the right of Sir Lewis Sands to be on the committee. A man whose knowledge was matched only by his urbanity, Sir Lewis was reputed to lose his composure only when called the Arnold Toynbee of his age.